Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show, and have we got a show for you. Drew McIntyre calls his shot. Liv Morgan costs Dom Mysterio, and Uncle Howdy answers his own questions. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce, special guest, and straight out of Canada, Jimmy Corderas, your city represented.
Celebrating Canada Day, my friends. Woo. It was a big day. Chilling and grilling. That's all it was. It was a day off with chilling and grilling. I got to take these off because I can't see anything. But
I think leaves everywhere.
Yeah. But at least I didn't have to try to teach Robert Goulet the Canadian national anthem like WrestleMania 6.
Yeah, man. Stand on guard for thee. Come on.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Pat Patterson came up to me and said, Jimmy, do you know the Canadian national anthem? And I said, Pat, of course I do. We sang it at school every day. He says, can you come with me and teach it to Robert Goulet? Because he was singing the national anthem that night in the Sky Dome. And I'm like, I'm going to teach Robert Goulet how to sing. I don't know. No, you teach him the words and stuff. I said, Pat, I got an idea. Why don't you just put it on the big Jumbotron and he could just read it from there? Yeah. Oh, Jimmy, that's why we have you here. Thank you. Okay. And that's what they did. They had to put the words up like a big
save his career.
Save mine.
You know, it's funny. You know, I shouldn't say this when we're so close to the birthday of America and 4th of July, but I feel like I know the words to our national anthem. But if you ask me to write them down, wow. I don't know. I think I would start like, wait, what exactly do they say? You know, certain songs you feel like you know, and then you do karaoke and you're like, I have to look at the screen. I don't actually know the words to this song unless I'm singing along with it.
Jack, if you ever run for president, they're going to clip this out using the TAC ad. He doesn't know the anthem. Do you trust this man?
It'll be brought up in the debate.
My problems.
It'll be brought up in the debate for sure. Like, and your golf score. And your golf score.
Right.
I say, look, if you could say the words to the national anthem without someone singing them with you, I don't know. Maybe I'm not presidential material. Here I come, Senate. Anyway, we had quite a weekend of pro wrestling. Before we get into all the news, by the way, thanks for everyone coming through and hanging out in the chat and chatting along with us. But we had a really good time this weekend, Flobo and I, chatting all about Forbidden Door. Now, we got into it, into the nitty gritty, into the weeds, as they say. I don't want to get into all of that, but folks, if you haven't seen our review, make sure to check it out. It's streaming live on all the podcast networks, all the YouTube networks. But Jimmy, you watched it as well. Any quick takeaways, thoughts from Forbidden Door this weekend?
The only thing for me was it was a lot of stuff to take in, but they did end off with a big bang. I love that match with Swerve and the Ospreay. I hope they do the right thing now and continue this momentum with Swerve. This is the problem I had. I've critiqued the booking of Swerve since he's won the championship, that he hasn't been the featured champion. And now I read today that they're going to have another celebration, championship celebration for Mercedes Moné. How about you have a celebration for your big time champion, your world champion? I just come on, guys. He's your world champion. Treat him like one. But other than that, I thought, for the most part, it was enjoyable. A lot to take in for an old fart like me.
15 matches. I think it's a lot for just about anybody. But you're right. I felt like they did a good job. I enjoyed it. If you have any thoughts on it in the chat, let us know. But I want to get into some more of the news. Also, I should say, by the way, if you do like these after PLEs, after pay-per-view shows that we do here on Wrestling Inc., this weekend, you got a doubleheader. You got a twofer, as they say. Groupon. Step up your game. Wrestling Inc.'s coming for your gimmick. We're doing two of them this weekend. That's it. I got a problem with Groupon.
I'm sorry.
That's when I'm running for president. They'll, you know, my opponent will be talking about the economy. They'll be talking about foreign policy. But I'll be like, listen, Groupon, you need to step up your game. Two for one ain't cutting it anymore. Not for the American people. I want at least three for one from you going forward.
You got my vote.
Just don't be talking about your gimmick.
Yes. George Hermosa, John Jordan, they're teaming up to combine and take on both Money in the Bank on Saturday and Heatwave on Sunday. So, like I said, a doubleheader, a great couple of shows. And speaking of Money in the Bank, at the end of tonight, at the end of this very program, we are going to speak and we are going to predict Money in the Bank. So if you don't like spoilers, don't watch the end, because we get them right every single time.
Oh, I'm going to be there live, so I'm going to try and lobby for all my picks.
Okay. Politics. Jimmy's going to be wheels backstage at WWE. Wow.
Doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah. Hey, I'm bringing this with me.
You're going to be like, listen, guys, I know you have plans well in advance, but I predicted Zoe Stark to win this thing. So if you could just do me a solid here. But we'll talk about all that. This show, we haven't gotten to the news yet, guys. Let's try to at least get to the news before we go off the rails. We've got some news here. MJF has reacted to Tama Tonga's MFT shirt. Now, you may have seen this. Looks a little bit like the MJF logo or writing or however you would phrase that. He said, quote, "Stop sending me photos of the shirt. We get it." Then he later went on to say, "I took a," I'm going to say poop because I don't want to get in trouble. I just took a poopy. Do you want to report that too?
I took a poopy and I'm better than you.
That's a t-shirt. That is a t-shirt. I'm telling you.
Flobo, you cover SmackDown here at Wrestling Inc. So you had a firsthand look at this when it first debuted, this MFT shirt. Hard to argue. It does look a lot like the MJF writing, or would you call it a logo, or is it just text or font?
I believe that the phrase is a logo type.
Okay. Yeah. Like, what are your takeaways on this? Do you think that there's anything behind this? Think it was an accident? Think it was whatever? Any takeaways?
I think, judging by classic WWE Samoan aesthetic, modern Samoan aesthetic, there's like this whole like gangster rap reverence. So the old English, I think, worked for Tonga, much like how the Usos were talking like they were in NWA. But I think it was unintentional. I think MJF played it correctly. It was kind of like, hey, wait a minute, I noticed that. But I don't think anyone's sitting there back and like, you know what, Tonga, that Maxwell Jacob Friedman has been running his mouth. I don't think that's the case there.
Yeah. Jimmy, I'm kind of, first of all, I think it's kind of a story about nothing. I don't think there's really anything anyone needs to lose sleep over. I do sort of feel like you need to be aware of what's out there when you're making things like this. And probably WWE probably should have caught that themselves and been like, there's already a pretty big star with a very similar branding out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was intentional. I don't think, you know, Triple H is in a room wringing his hands going, this is how we'll get them. Yeah. But I do think you need to, maybe some due diligence would have helped here to figure out whether or not someone else has a similar branding.
Well, to say that they're not paying attention to the other guys would be kind of disingenuous. They're paying attention to everybody. They're keeping an eye on everybody and probably their merchandise as well. And I don't think it was intentional, like you guys said. With no disrespect to Tama Tonga, if you're going to do that kind of graphic, that kind of letter design on somebody's shirt, wouldn't you pick somebody else? Someone who's more of a lone wolf or some, you know, just saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 If you're going to steal from someone who no one knows about so you can get away with it. That's going to really go well in my presidential campaign. I don't think there's, and I think that MJF is playing it right too. Like, look, I get it. We all see it. MJF knows, I mean, he can't do anything about it. I don't think Tama Tonga was part of the marketing meeting either. I think it's just a thing that happened and we're moving on.
Yeah. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. I know for clicks and things, I'm sure they would like me to throw a big hissy fit about it, but I think it is just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But speaking of things that are like trademarked and owned, there's been an update on recent Bloodline related name trademarks. Apparently, WWE had trademarked the name Cesar Fatu, or actually, maybe it wasn't Fatu. Did I get it right? I got to check out the actual thing here. Cesar Sikoa, I apologize. And it was rumored that that was meant for Jacob Fatu, But apparently they just, well, not apparently, they did. They kept his real name, Jacob Fatu. We've been seeing this more and more, Jimmy, with wrestlers like Ethan Page and Jade Cargill. Very different than what it used to be before, where everyone got a name change no matter what. What is this? What are your thoughts on people getting to keep their name coming in as opposed to having to change it?
I think it shows that they have a history, and WWE is recognizing that they do have a history outside of WWE. And I think that's the biggest thing about this. You know, everybody knows who Jacob Fatu, who is a hardcore wrestling fan, who has watched him in the past, watched him in Japan and all that sort of stuff. So they know who he is. So to bring him in and give him another name, now the challenge is you got to get introduce him to the modern audience who may be less, you know, hardcore, for lack of a better term. But I think it's a good idea. Let them keep their names. I wish they would do something like that with a Bron Breakker. Mm-hmm. You know, use that lineage because that one is well known in North America. So
right.
I like the fact that they're giving guys, not giving guys, but allowing guys to have their own. Here, we're giving you your own real name. No, it's a good deal.
I think with Bron Breakker, I do think that ship has sailed at this point. I think changing the name now that he's just been introduced in such a big way as Bron Breakker would be a little Viking experience if they were to change it now. But Flobo, I think looking at this, I understand why they would always trademark names before so they could own them. I feel like with merging with joining TKO and merging with the UFC, one, there's a little bit more of a, we know who these real people are. Let's let them use their real name. But also, if I'm signing somewhere, let's be honest, one of the big things about signing with a place like WWE is the exposure you can get and the opportunities it opens for you. And I think it's smart for WWE to possibly just lean into this and say, look, you're going to leave here as a star. If you make it here, you can do this, but then you can be John Cena. You can be Dwayne Johnson, and you can be a even bigger star. And it just adds them a bigger selling point in something that I doesn't really think costs them anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Except for the rare occasions where you're playing something completely different, I suppose. But yeah, I think the advantage there is having someone who is using their name because it does seem more sports based. Like we're doing the TKO post-merger, why not lean into that in their own special way?
Yeah. So everyone in the chat, let us know what you think. Do you like them keeping their names? I feel like everyone's going to say, I like them keeping their names. Who's like, no, I like it when they come up with a new name for people. But yeah, I think it's also good for the wrestlers too, because if it doesn't work out, then you are able to continue to use that name. And it has a lot of value for you on at other levels. And I'm always for the wrestler. Whatever helps the wrestlers, that's what I'm going to back.
I can understand if your name is Bill Smith, but you know, if you've got a cool name like Jacob Fatu, use it.
Right. Or if you're happen to be someone else named Randy Orton, then I guess you're probably not going to be able to keep, probably not gonna be able to keep that one.
I'm Randall Steve Orton, actually.
My name, my mom actually named me Hunter Hearst Hemsley. Can I keep my name?
Oh, man.
My name's the Warlord. Can I keep mine?
The Warlord, is that French?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, my parents named me Mordecai, so you see how that turned out.
Kevin Thorne himself.
So, yeah, a lot of folks here, I think, like in the chat, they enjoy that people get to keep their name. Tony, by the way, says, I just can't come to see Jimmy K. He still looks like Mike Pinder from the Moody Blues.
Wow. I don't know about that. I don't think my wife would be happy to hear that. That's for sure.
Burner account says the Warlord Johnson. I gotta confess. I don't know. I don't know who that is from Moody Blues. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Is that a compliment?
Okay. I have no idea. I'm going to have to Google it now.
Okay. Maria says, let all the relevant talent keep their names. Well, I think everyone likes to assume that they're relevant.
Oh my goodness.
Hot take, Jack, across the board. Like, I'm
sure, I don't think there's anyone who's like, I'm not really relevant, so whatever. Right. Adam says, I just stopped by to check on Jack's hair. Well, thank you. It's glad you did. Omos, we talk about people being able to to advance their careers outside of pro wrestling. He's recently launched a YouTube channel. His first video says he's going to focus on fragrances, food, and fashion. Flobo, you are a big-time content creator with a lot of different projects you're working on. Talk to me a little bit about diving into content creation for someone like Omos.
Let's be honest with you. Omos is a very large specimen, but you can't just keep being that. And I think 6 months ago, there was a video MVP had where Omos was trying to fit into a seat of an airplane. And that was like hilarious because Xavier Woods is going nuts at it. But you want to hear more about what the guy behind that guy is doing. And so you want to generate some buzz between your matches because they are happening more and more infrequently. So I'm on board, man. It's going to be a grind for sure, but I'll be on board for it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see, or he's going to learn firsthand how tough it is to build an audience with something like social media. Fragrances, food, and fashion. I don't think a lot of people would have pegged at least the fragrances and food. I think people who have seen Omos know he's actually got a lot of fashion. I felt like that was one of the things they were missing with him, is they always made him act like a big fee-fi-fo-fum giant, but he had style too, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. This has become more and more popular over the years. Wrestlers trying to get into things like Twitch, into YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think it's very smart. I think the more you can diversify, especially in a world like pro wrestling, where sometimes that career can end very abruptly, it's always good to start having something else to work on.
Absolutely. And Omos is doing something that I'm very interested in, is food, cooking. Everybody's into cooking. That's it seems to be one of the biggest things, you know, obviously gaming right now, people like Xavier Woods capitalizing on that sort of thing. And you got people like former stars like Maven with his motivational stuff that he's doing online. So there's a lot of space out there for guys to expand their horizons outside of wrestling and get out of that bubble, because everybody thinks that, oh, it's wrestling 24/7, and these guys might know they have lives outside of wrestling, and they're starting to show that now.
Yeah, so I'm going to check it out. I'm excited to see how it is. But I would be, as you mentioned, Floba, I'd be interested to see life for someone who's that tall, because I don't think we ever really think about what it's like.
What do you think?
Flobo, do you think you got it right?
Oh, we're out of time. Give it up a wrestling ink. Learn more. No, I don't know. We love Jamie Corderas, man. I got it super smooth.
So we have to talk a little bit about what happened on Friday, and that was a lot of censorship going on, and a lot of people weren't happy about it. In fact, it's being reported that there was some frustration within WWE over the way they were censored, and I think some people were even getting a little bit upset about it today during Raw. Jimmy, I'm kind of torn on this. WWE is upset, fans are upset, but I also feel like it's not really Fox's job to monitor this stuff. I mean, they've got to watch themselves too, right? Where do we put the blame here?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because Fox is actually over-the-air broadcast channel, which is kind of different. You have a little more freedom, let's say, on cable like USA Network. But even though tonight on USA Network, apparently it was the holy you know what, the holy poopy chance were edited out.
I love it. Yes, let's go.
But I got to tell you, up here in Canada and TSN where it airs, nope, no edit. We got the full chance. So where the blame lies, you know, when it comes to something like that, it's the network. I'm not blaming them, but I get why they're doing it. I know it's 2024 and people say, oh, what's the big deal? Still, there's kids watching under 12 or under 14 or whatever the case may be. So they're careful about their audience. And I get that. But at the same time, do some of those kids actually hear it? I don't know. I'm sure they hear it, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's a tough one. Yeah. It's a tough call.
Yeah, as a fan, Flobo, you know, I don't like hearing the censor. I don't like hearing it bleep out or cut out. It sounds choppy. It's not enjoyable to watch or listen to. I guess I'm just – the report is saying that people within WWE are frustrated. I can imagine if you're at Fox, you're a little frustrated too. Mm-hmm. I don't think networks like having to censor things either. But at the same time, there's not really a lot WWE can do about it. They're not the ones saying it. It's the people in the crowd.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's not as bad on Raw because it's a holy bleep chant or you effed up chant or what have you. Mm. But this past SmackDown, there was a portion that was bleeped out for about 15 seconds. It felt like my TV wasn't working. And I think that's where people are kind of upset because the crowd was getting so into it. It really felt like something had malfunctioned.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to take it from the standpoint of if the report is that people from the WWE are frustrated about it and it's their show. Like that's, it's hard, you know, it'd be similar to, you know, we're not allowed to swear on this show. We've made jokes about it a couple times, you know, and if I started swearing and then I found out they cut those parts out of the replay and then me getting frustrated. Like, I know the rules. Like, it's on me.
But it's not even that. If the crowd is going so hard, they cut the sound off, you can't tell the story on commentary. It's basically you've cut out the audience from the game. So it's kind of like, man, you can't tell the crowd to shut up. They're going to do whatever the heck they're going to do. Can I say heck? I don't know. But it is kind of messed up where it's like,
if you're not here next week, we'll know.
Yeah. But it's frustrating when you can't tell the story. It's happening because the crowd's going nuts.
Yeah, and it almost felt like that, you know, that the commentary team, Michael Cole and Wade Barrett, didn't know that they were being censored. They were talking through the whole silence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they wouldn't know, I would imagine. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way. I'm not privy to television stuff, but I don't know if there's a way you could keep the mics on the commentary team on, and would they pick up that audio from the crowd if you cut out the other mics around the arena? I don't know if that would work.
I'd imagine from Fox's side, they're trying to send. I don't think they really care at that point. They're just trying to cover themselves. Mm-hmm. I guess at the end of the day, what I'm really saying is it feels like WWE is frustrated with the fans in the arena and the fans saying these things. And that if you're a fan at the arena, you should say holy poopy instead of something else.
No, they should not.
It's New York. You're not getting holy poopy.
I think, you know what? My producers are telling me that did Triple H say that he would prefer fans say holy poopy? They did. Thumbs up. Okay.
Did you get the text?
I got the text from.
I didn't get a text. What's going on?
From the president. From the president of the company. So let us. I mean, we'll see how this changes. Obviously, they're going to make the move to Netflix. It'll be interesting to see if they lean into it extra hard when they're on Netflix. If they're extra hard on Netflix. But I'm curious. It'll be curious to almost as a look. You didn't let us say this stuff before. Now we're gonna get super PG-13 on Netflix. You know. Yeah. Last thing on it, Flobo. Would you like to see them get more PG-13 on Netflix, or do you think they need to keep the same formula?
I am torn because as a adult fan, yes, because I feel like that's a lot more natural. You get a lot more emotions when people are mad or upset, or I love my little B words, my little S words. But historically, wrestling is for the kids. You're supposed to bring your family out there, hook them when they're young, so they can be lifelong fans like us, paying $500 for a championship belt. And I worry about that side because there isn't the Saturday morning slams anymore, or superstars, or wrestling challenge like I did when I was a kid to get censored stuff. Raw is it. SmackDown is it. There should be some on-ramp for the kids on some level.
Beer Money says, Triple H seemed frustrated with Fox in that McAfee interview, not the fans. Well, Triple H isn't going to come out and say he's upset with the fans. That's never going to happen. But and I don't know what Triple H, what's going through his head. He has his own things he's thinking about. But
I will say this.
Yeah,
I will say this. I don't mind if they loosen the strings a little bit when they move to Netflix. Don't go overboard. Don't make it sound like a Tom Brady roast or something like that. It doesn't need to be that. Just every once in a while, if you want to drop one word, it doesn't have to be an F-bomb. There's a lot of there's B words and all that kind of stuff. We hear that like every other sentence.
Which one's that one?
Oh, the Or, oh, sorry.
I'll get Jack put you under the bus real gently. Which one is that one, Jimmy?
Hey, if Darby Allin could survive a bus crash, so could I.
Well, speaking of folks who can survive a bus crash, we've got a bunch of incredible folks here in the chat with us today. I want to give them all a shout out.
That's the worst segue ever.
Gabriel, we got Daniel Barry, J.R. Smith, Tuck Graff, Joe C. Lurkin, Tommy O. Adonde, Ethan Cruz, Danny Cochran, who says, I don't know, Jack, that hair is pretty presidential. Oh. I agree.
At least it's not orange. Oh, sorry.
Yes, we got lots of other folks here as well. I can't give a shout out to everyone. Don't have enough time, but you're all appreciated. If you're tuning in, like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. If you're lurking, you do the same. And leave a little comment after the show's over in YouTube or wherever platform you're on. That always helps the SEO and makes our bosses happy. Scott Langford, I see your super chat, and I'm going to chat about that when we talk about that main event. So don't think I forgot about you. I will get to that part of the show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer with Wrestling Inc., and you know, plenty of pro wrestlers made their names at the Olympic Games. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, even Ronda Rousey. I'll be watching this year's Olympics to see the pro wrestlers of tomorrow. And staying hydrated isn't just for the athletes. It's for those of us watching at home, too. That's why I pour Liquid IV into a glass of water for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. One stick of Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's easy to mix, and I love that it doesn't taste fake. Plus, 4 of the flavors are sugar-free. It's also great when I travel to a live event. A few sticks of Liquid IV in my bag guarantees I'll be at my best and that my head isn't pounding as the pyro goes off. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. I want to start with the beginning, though. I want to start with Jey Uso coming out and Chad Gable coming out. First off, Chad Gable and Jey Uso, they compare Jey getting away from the bloodline to the Alpha Academy trying to get away from Chad Gable. These two guys fight, and as Gable tries to get away, he is again tormented by the Wyatt Six. Later, Gable tries to ask Otis for help, and he seems torn about what to do. Flobo, I want to start with you. Jey Uso just left Chad Gable high and dry out there to deal with the Wyatts on his own. Kind of a cowardly move for a good guy, am I right?
Absolutely not. He's ready for the Money in the Bank. He got his yeet in. He's out. GMYI, get my yeet in. I'm out. You handle yourself.
How did you like this segment, Flobo? Were you a fan of it? Clearly, they had to do a little bit of business. I think that was kind of the theme of the night, reminding us about Money in the Bank this weekend. But the Jey Uso, Chad Gable interactions, any thoughts about it?
Jey Uso is hot right now, but he's suffering from the LA Knight situation where there's nothing really to put him for now. And hopefully he'll have some direction afterwards. But it's a very clear sign that Jey can kick the wrong way to the arena and the crowd is still behind him. He is that hot. And Chad Gable, even though he's kind of like a guy we want to love, I think it's perfect to go up against someone who's just a supernova and say, why attack me? Attack that guy. Totally something Jack Farmer would do. So therefore, I hate it. And so that's why I love it when Chad Gable does it.
I thought that was brilliant. Jimmy, this the Wyatt Six clearly targeting Chad Gable. With everything that's going on in WWE, with Chad, what's going on with Chad Gable, is he the right guy for them to be doing this with? Is he, with all the buildup and how popular Wyatt Six seemed to be, and I mean this with respect to Gable, is he a big enough fish for how big this story seems to be?
For the beginning, I think, because you can't start off with going after the head. You have to start somewhere, and I think Chad Gable is a good middle ground for them to start with. He's popular enough in the sense that he's a heel that people want to see get his butt whipped. So I think that's a good starting point, at least. And Chad, I love Chad Gable. He reminds me of Larry David. You know what I mean? I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. You know what I mean? So,
totally is.
Yeah. To your question, I really do think that this is a good launching point for them. The videos that we're going to talk about and all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. amazing. But it's a good start. Yeah, especially that the way they shot that. He tried to exit out the side, and then he went to the, mm-hmm. the center of Gorilla, where the entrance of Gorilla was, and that was blocked off by a member. Then he went to the other side. Then he escaped through the crowd. Nice little way they shot that. It looked really good.
The way they shoot these is great. The way they use the lighting and stuff as well is really good camera work. And it's got to be so tough to figure that out and how it's going to look earlier in the day when it's not as dark, I'm assuming, and there's not people there and everything else, but they still find a way to make it work. The way they're shooting this and the way they're presenting this is fantastic so far. Flippo, one last question for you regarding this opening segment is, it kind of felt like Jey Uso was kind of joking about the Wyatts a little bit. While he was saying how dangerous they were, it also felt like it wasn't that serious. Do you think that him, the way he's approaching this, takes away some of the seriousness of the situation, or does it need a little bit of that levity, that little, you know, kind of call it out for what it is, if that makes sense?
I think your concerns are absolutely valid, but obviously the levity matters because now we know it's more of a targeted attack for Chad Gable. I think if it was just kind of serious, like, oh man, I don't know, it could be me, it could be you, it becomes another whodunit sort of thing. I think for now, I like the fact that Jey is like, yeah, you're that guy, you're over there. And then we saw these biblically accurate angel representations of the Wyatt Six. I mean, to me, it really worked.
Yeah. I liked how he was saying, you know, you can have the fireflies, I'll take cockroaches or whatever. Whatever other. The yeet flies, though. I'll miss you, yeet flies. Now, the big thing that happened here is another videotape was delivered, and it was another conversation with Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy, talking to himself, themself, however we phrase this. Jimmy, what was this interview about?
This was showing the conflict he has and trying to justify what his mission statement is and where he's going and what he's trying to accomplish. And I'm trying to remember the correct phrasing. I mean, you can go, he's the voice of, what did he say? Reckoning, the voice of reckoning.
Yeah.
I believe he said, and there's a lot of other phrases that he said in there, and you can tell that he's, like I said, on a mission statement, but also conflicted, doesn't know who, it's almost like he doesn't know who he wants to be. He knows right. He needs to be someone, but he's not sure who he wants to be. And I like the fact that it's not these supernatural characters that are like above everything, that these are just people who are really, really battling their own demons inside their own mind and that sort of thing. I guess we're going to see more of these VHS tapes anyways. If they need a VHS player in the truck, I got one too. So I'll bring it down to Money in the Bank and see if they can use it there.
Right. I wouldn't want to get anywhere near what these guys are doing personally.
I'm just dropping it off.
I don't want you to end up like Chad Gable, Jimmy. We need you here on the show. We can't have anything happen to you.
Well, I hear you. As long as I get the blue check, that's fine. I don't
care. Yeah. Right. Well, you know what? If the check is coming, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But Flobo, I actually took to social media to ask people what they thought about the videos so far.
Why?
And because I'm a man of the people.
Yeah,
vote
you are.
Vote for Jack this election season. The LP train at the LP train says the videos have been good, but the bell is going to have to ring for these guys at some point. Tapes in Hell says Bo Dallas has legitimate acting chops. He learned so much from Bray. Defy Clap Clap says, love me, Bray, the Wyatt family, the Fiend, and connected heavily with them, but never knew WTF he was talking about. Adding the questions make the answers make sense. And finally, at Style Tick says, a lot of talking, nothing really said. Where do you stand? This is a split response.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the second week of these videotapes?
I think those approaching from a logical standpoint are correct. You have to get into the ring eventually. There has to be a match. And yes, this was pretty much a repeat beat of last week. People trying to get on board. Maybe they missed last week. Instead of just saying, here's what you missed, we get some of this. However, you look at SmackDown and you look at the structure of the show. We got small storylines, medium storyline, and the long one with the new bloodline. This is going to be your bloodline on Raw. And so that is going to tell you that you're going to have these weeks or months, or even skip PLEs of small building blocks. Get used to Bro Dallas talking to himself or themselves for a long, long time. Strap in.
Yeah, you're right. I believe you're right. I think this is going to take a long time. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to see some action too. I want to see the bell ring, as mentioned earlier. I want to see what's happening next. Now, for me, I know Money in the Bank is this weekend. I didn't expect a big advancement in the storyline today because Money in the Bank is booked up. You know, so I think for today, this was fine. I will say, starting next week, I personally want to see a little bit more than just the videotape. But for now, I think the acting's on point. I think the story's on point. I think the presentation is on point. But if we get, you know, next week, another video of just Howdy saying, I'm here because of Bray Wyatt and spooky stuff, I'm going to say, okay, we're starting to get a little bit repetitive. We can't have as long as we had with the QR codes of just these videos. I believe, Jimmy, am I off base here?
No, I don't think you are. But at the same time, what I'd like to see, the other four members, we haven't heard from them at all. And what is their reasoning? Do we get other videotapes with them in the same similar situation, but not with Uncle Howdy, with their own alter egos? That would be interesting. I don't know if they could pull it off as well as Bo Dallas does, but it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, we need Baby Ice says we need VHS tapes for all the Howdy members, Jack. And Beer Money says, if we see all the characters talk without masks first, when they wrestle maskless, it won't be as weird. Who says they're wrestling maskless?
You never know.
That it could be. So let me know your thoughts so far, everyone in the chat or in the comments. Thoughts on the Wyatt Six so far? Thoughts on how Bo Dallas is handled? Do we call him Bo Dallas? I still don't know exactly how we're referring to each of these individuals.
They haven't really done, because they're doing the whole like, oh, this creature gave me a video, and what did we just see? It's crazy. So no, it isn't Uncle Howdy, it isn't Bo Dallas, but we kind of just inferring.
Right. Cool. So we move on to the main event. This one was about as hard hitting as you could ask for on a Monday night. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Ilya Dragunov. Drew wins and is in Money in the Bank and says he's leaving Toronto with the championship. This is a big statement. Flobo, thoughts on the match, thoughts on Drew winning, thoughts on him calling his shot at the end.
I wasn't a fan of this Drew mission to get himself in the Money in the Bank match. I thought he could probably drop the Claymore down and get another title opportunity the old-fashioned way. But now I'm on board. Even though Ilya Dragunov was not involved in the result, which is surprising to me, I do think this is how it's done. You have Drew on this like anti-villainous babyface run, but he's still a jerk, and have him in this matchup. And if he wins it, great. If he gets screwed again, even better. And so that's why I think it's almost more ways this can win than it can miss.
I really thought that this was a coming out party in many ways for Ilya Dragunov. He got the loss, but in many times it felt like it was a 2-on-1 match. He was taking on both these guys and really kind of beating them up. At Kenton LA says, Ilya holding his own well, can see good things in the future long-term for him. Of course, Sheamus took the pin here. He's kind of on a skid right now. I think it's becoming a bit of an issue. He's always eating pins right now. And I say that I think that's part of what they're developing. I don't think that's an accident. But Jimmy, in the chat, Scott Langford says, what would be a better story? Punk costing Drew the ladder match or Punk costing Drew during a cash-in? I would give the case to someone else. Now, we have our predictions at the end of the show, but thoughts on Scott Langford's comment?
Well, I think personally, the money is in him screwing him on the cash-in. That's my opinion. Obviously, you know, you could see him possibly doing something to cost him the Money in the Bank ladder match and taking him out of the equation there. But at the same time, if you really, really want to get under his skin, you don't take away the opportunity. You take away the briefcase when he hands it in to cash it in.
Can I give a hot take here?
Sure. Oh, snap.
I I think I'm over CM Punk costing Drew McIntyre. I want to see Drew McIntyre see it coming, take out CM Punk, and then be victorious. Because it's getting a little too every single time, and I know it's a bit of the story, but at the same time, I feel like if Drew McIntyre keeps losing here, he needs to get one up on CM Punk in a situation that matters. I know he beat him up backstage on SmackDown.
That matters.
But it wasn't in a match. A win and loss wasn't on the table. CM Punk has repeatedly cost him matches in big spots. I think Drew McIntyre needs something to come back. Otherwise, Drew McIntyre absolutely 100% needs to beat CM Punk when he comes back. Flobo, how correct am I on a scale of 10 to 11?
I would never give the satisfaction of you being correct ever. But look, I actually like the rationale. It makes sense, but I don't know. I know we're getting to prediction later on, but I could just imagine Drew just claymoring everyone, being so close to the glory, and is being tossed off a ladder by CM Punk. And that may be too pedestrian for the likes of you big brain panelists, but that's what I want to see in Toronto, Daddy.
In the chat, do you guys want CM Punk to get the better of Drew McIntyre at Money in the Bank, or do you want to see Drew McIntyre get the better of CM Punk? I'm going with the big angry Scott in this one, personally. Here. We got another super chat. Mr. 412 says, Jimmy, do you have at least one more match in you to ref? Would you rather it at SummerSlam or WrestleMania? Also, Jack, I stay in the north end of Tacoma, aka Tack Town. Of course, Mr. 412 and I both famously from Tacoma, Washington. But Jimmy, what say you? You got one more in you.
Would you prefer
SummerSlam or WrestleMania?
You've always got one more in you. Always carry your gear with you. You never know where you'll be asked to do something in this business. But if I was asked to do anything, it's got to be WrestleMania, man. That's the showcase of the immortals.
What, do you actually carry your gear around? Like, are you at like weddings and stuff? But it's
in my trunk right now.
Oh my gosh, this guy's a professional.
I love
never know, man. You never know.
I love it. And you know, I love that you say that. Like, I always think it's funny when people say like I'm retired in any type of entertainment role, because I feel like you can always do one more. Just do it. Like, why say you're done? Like when bands are like, we're done, we're retiring. You can come together down the road sometime. Quit acting like this is the end. It's not a big deal.
You know what it is. You had that one extra Waffle House meal, and you're like, I can't do this anymore. I want to go home. And then you miss Waffle House. You're like, you know what? It wasn't
that bad. I could go for some waffles right now.
Yeah. <Well worked. laughs>
Trust me, I won't be slow counting, but I am showing up at Money in the Bank with a salmon blazer, so you never know.
If you absolutely destroy someone in a salmon blazer, that would be the best. Like, you got to stop CM Punk for me, Jimmy, to help Drew McIntyre.
he ain't getting my ref shirt.
Nick, why is Jimmy cutting a retirement promo in a salmon coat in the middle of the Money in the Bank match? It's just to protect Drew McIntyre. No one would get it but us, but I'd say that's good TV.
There you go.
So Drew McIntyre, or not Drew McIntyre, Judgment Day, as usual, very big part of the programming tonight. First off, Priest says that he's talked to Rhea Ripley and she's upset with Dom. Priest is also mad that Liv is in the what do they call their backroom space again?
The clubhouse.
I can't really call it the fun house because the Firefly fun house, man, they don't call it the fun house.
No fun happens or occurs there. Yeah.
But he's mad that Liv is in the clubhouse. Finn's mad at Priest for being different now that he's the champion and saying, look, Liv's helped us more than you have, pal. Later, Zelina and Liv Morgan have a match. Dom comes out to cost Liv Morgan, maybe. But Rey Mysterio comes out to even the numbers. Liv uses the Three Amigos and the Prism Lock, taking things from everybody these days, but Dom tries to help Zelina. Zelina hits Dom. That distracts her long enough for Liv to get the win. Things continue to unravel for Judgment Day as Seth Rollins comes out and he's cutting a promo when Finn takes it personal. Priest takes it personal. Things break down. Priest choke slams Seth Rollins, and later in the night, Rey Mysterio beats Dom Mysterio when Liv Morgan's help doesn't work out. A whole lot of stuff happened here with the Judgment Day. I want to start at the very tippy top of it all. Flobo, is there anything more hurtful than your friend looking you dead in the eye and saying, you've changed?
Yeah, you tell me that weekly, but I'm still here, baby.
No, look, you know, Flobo, with you, you've changed.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying. This Canada Day. No, yeah, it was because Finn Balor was right. We had that moment last week. We thought no one was going to mention it at all. And Finn's like, no. You said that. But though, question I have is, why did Damian Priest talk to Rhea Ripley? Isn't Rhea like Dom's mommy? Like, shouldn't they be having conversations on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday nights?
Yeah, you know, that is kind of true, Jimmy. I mean, if should Dom be upset that his girl is calling his buddy and having conversations about their relationship with him?
Well, it is kind of weird, especially considering his buddy is also slipping hotel cards, key cards in his pocket as well. So it's kind of like, is he double dipping? Like, what's going on here?
maybe he is. But there's something that confused me. I'm going to make one of these things where I say, why did this happen? I get it and I'm okay with it, but I just got to call it out here. Why did Rey Mysterio come out? If Dom's out there to help Zelina, why was Rey Mysterio upset about this? I feel I didn't really get that. It felt like three people were there to try to beat Liv Morgan.
Wait. So if you're Rey Mysterio, you have this child who's called you a literal deadbeat for years, touching one of your friends, and you're like asking why Rey's coming out?
I mean, if I was Ray, I'd say, yeah. I mean, he's got a point. But
I have a question for you guys. I have a question for you guys. Do you think Ray is unintentionally causing Liv to win, or is he actually deep down inside helping her, making it look like he's not trying to help her? If that makes sense.
Flobo? You want Ray Mysterio to have a heel turn?
No. Did I say Ray? I meant Dom.
I'm sorry.
No. I want that now. I want Rey Mysterio and Liv Morgan to end and be like, listen, I'm the daddy around here.
Oh my gosh.
See what I started?
We got ourselves the Edge and Lita live sex celebration tonight on Raw. So it definitely is plausible for that to happen. Sorry, kids. We can't edit that out.
I gotta hear Ray. Now I want Ray to get with Liv and be like, I was always the poppy, Dom. It was always me. that would be the best. Oh my god. Heel
Ray Mysterio. That's what you're out of ideas.
Yeah, so but things of course didn't end well for everyone in this one. Lots of good drama here. I'm loving all this stuff. It was a lot, so I don't think we're gonna break down everything. But any final thoughts on just the Judgment Day going on, Jimmy?
I like that there's a lot of layers to it, and now they're incorporating Finn is the one now starting to stand up to Damian Priest a little bit and saying, hey man, what's going on? Like you said, you've changed, and I like that aspect of it. And even though he came out and Priest said, what are you doing, man? I don't need your help. But he took advantage of it anyway.
Right. So
it's kind of...
Flobo, any takeaway? Are you digging the Liv Morgan, Dom Mysterio, love octangle?
Yeah, I actually like this for Judgment Day. It's a good way to keep that title warm. I'm not sure the severity of Rhea Ripley's injury. I think the nerd side of me is like, all right, come on. I really want to have a women's angle for the title. We'll get to that. But as it is right now, if Rhea Ripley's up next, then it's great. And yeah, that's how I sound when I watch. Otherwise, the voice I check.
Come on.
So I'm happy with everything. I just want to make sure the title isn't forgotten throughout everything.
Ethan Cruz mentioning Carlito. Now that's cool. Again, Carlito, such an underrated addition to this. I was like, going to Dave Priest, I was playing as you. Yeah. Which is so stupid, but also if I walked into a room and was like, hey Jack, I was playing as your character, I'd be like, I would be a little flattered, like, oh, did you win? No, terrible stats. You're not a wrestler.
Download your character every year and it's awful. God, you have 2K. Jack makes a thing every year, and it's awful because he always loses. always.
It's because they don't have good hair for me to use in that game.
Oh, yeah.
We had a Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker this show. What are we doing? Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker, they have a back and forth on the microphone. It gets physical, and Braun ends up spearing Sami Zayn twice. I'm going to give you an either or, Jimmy. You got to pick one of these two people.
Okay.
It's the show. It's the go-home show before a big pay-per-view. You need someone to go out there and basically just cut a generic promo on their match that's going to sell people on their on the match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pick Seth Rollins or Sami Zayn?
Ooh, that's interesting, because if I had to pick between the two, especially tonight.
Because they both kind of did the same thing. With all due respect, it's kind of one of those, I got a match this weekend, come see it.
This means more to me than anything, and you know, I got to do this. I need this.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that Seth is the challenger and Sammy's the champion, the fact that Sammy said he is going to defeat Braun Breaker, it's interesting because usually babyfaces who promise something like that deliver. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if it's Braun Breaker's time. We'll get the predictions and talk about it there. But I got to go with Seth. I don't know. There's something about Seth's delivery that really resonates with me.
Sami Zayn, he's very passionate in his promos. I think that's really one of his strengths. Mm-hmm. Flobo, he said something along the lines. I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said something to Braun Breaker. I don't think it came off the way he wanted it to, but he's like, 1,000 guys have said that they were going to break me in half before, and I've been broken in half 1,000 times before. And I thought, that's not the flex you think it is. It sounds like you get beat up all the time.
Is that what you said in your notes? Mr. Zayn, not the flex you thought it was. he's a workhorse champ. I get it. He's an everyman. I mean, Kevin Owens is on SmackDown, so that's the way it should be. But he can't be like, yeah, I dominated everybody. I'm Sami Zayn. Like, he has to be that guy. So I get it, you know?
Blue Chew says, sorry to spoil it, but Braun is going to unalive Sammy at Money in the Bank.
I hope he does. Sorry, predictions are later. Predictions.
He almost killed the steel stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Braun Breaker is the Terminator. I love Braun Breaker right now. Every time he comes out, I'm like, someone's going to die. Sami Zayn, you know what, man? I hope you have your last rites in order. I hope you've updated the will, because...
Enjoy that comedy show on Thursday night.
It's going to be a good one. I hope your life insurance is pulled up. Even the Wyatt family's like, man, that Braun Breaker guy's scary. He kills people.
We're animals.
Yeah. We've got a what do you got there, Jimmy?
What are you talking
fiend.
About?
It's a fiend. It's Christmas fiend.
Oh, it's a Christmas fiend.
What are you talking about? I'm not seeing anything. What are you guys talking about?
We're here. We're here. Run.
Oh, man.
Karrion Kross versus Xavier Woods. Kross beat Kofi last week, but Woods gets him this week, gets the win this week. Post-match AOP beat up New Day, seemingly injuring Kofi's arm. Flobo, tell me about the final testament in a post-Wyatt 6 world.
First thing, the fact that Xavier Woods is finishing moves at backwards and it's a small package is pretty funny. But let's talk about what this is. With the Wyatt 6 basically cornering the market on Spooky, the final testament had to shift. And we saw that a little bit last week, being more of the master manipulator, which I kind of like for them. Because if you think about what's happening, Judgment Day is your gang, they're your brutes. You have the spooky stuff happening with the Wyatts, but you still have someone that can be a little slimier. And the long-haired Karrion Kross fits the bill. And I don't like the fact they're teasing the New Day breakup, but to me, it's ripe for the picking. They are not the same New Day we're used to. They are kind of long in the tooth. They don't even dress the same anymore. So if you're going to slot it in, that's where you do it. And the match itself was pretty entertaining.
I went to social media, Jimmy, and I asked about Final Testament. And at said says, Kross should have been in Money in the Bank, and AOP need the NXT tag title run to restore the feeling. Cared316 said, I originally thought it was promising when first put together, but it just seems like they are going to fizzle out again. I just can't understand why they don't do more with Cross and Scarlett. They don't need the group around them. What are your thoughts on the Final Testament? How can they resolve the situation with the New Day? Because if the New Day beat them, man, that's a bad look for a Final Testament. But if they beat the New Day, they still didn't accomplish anything unless Xavier Woods or Kofi turn on each other. I don't really know how they get out of this situation without looking like they didn't get the job done.
I think that's the key. Like you said, one of them has to turn on the other. It's a question of who's going to turn. Is it going to be Kofi? Is it going to be Xavier Woods? And a lot of people are guessing that it's probably going to be Xavier, but I like to see a different Kofi Kingston, something we haven't seen before, because they always say your most notorious heels are the people who are most loved, and Kofi is loved by everybody. Mm-hmm. He's just that likable kind of guy. And I'd like to see a different side to him and really, you know, bite into it and take it and just become something that we have not seen before. And under Karrion Kross, Karrion Kross seems like just like you said, an average slime ball, as opposed to when first it looked like he was trying to manipulate them and kind of in a kind of creepy kind of way. That's kind of gone away for some reason. I would have rather seen that. And as far as the rest of the AOP, they don't need all the accoutrements. With all due respect to Precious Paul, he doesn't speak for the group. You know, I hate to say it, but does he really belong there? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's tough if you're the manager and you don't speak, but you're also not able to really, or I don't know what if he's able to or not, but you're also not very physical anymore. And there's always Scarlett on the outside as well. It does kind of become a redundancy. And I'm a huge Road Warriors fan, so I love who he is, but it does also feel a little bit like when Arn Anderson was with Cody Rhodes. Like, are you adding anything at this point?
You're so Arn Anderson,
let them be Road Warriors 3.0 or whatever it is, because Axe and Smash were, I guess, 2.0.
Right.
On Heidenreich, sir. And I'm on Heidenreich. Yeah.
Hashtag justice for Heidenreich.
Heidenreich.
Even Heidenreich's like, why?
Exactly. I was a Road Warriors. I forgot about that. That's a deep cut, y'all. hey. Jimmy's like, you're out of here, Flobo. Right.
So. We got last of all Dakota Kai, Ivy Nile, Zoe Stark fight to be in Money in the Bank. Dakota Kai gets the win. Zoe Stark gets the win. Later, Lyra Valkyria talks trash to Io Sky, and Caden and Chance attack Damage Control. Feels like they kind of a let's get to the pay per view kind of segments here, Flobo. But any quick takeaways from the match and or the segment?
Look, I understand that Damage Control originally was going to be the vehicle for Bayley, and with Bayley leaving, it was going to be a challenge for them to find their place, and they lost Asuka to injury, unfortunately. But, I mean, how can a team slip on so many banana peels on one show? It's getting to a point now where it's like, I'm starting to not believe them. I believe them individually. Dakota Kai came out. I go, oh, she'll win this match. But as a group, I go, oh, heck no. And it makes you wonder if I'm thinking that or they thinking that.
It does feel like Damage Control might be on its last breath here, Jimmy. Do you think that they survive the summer?
They probably will get a little bit through the summer, but I think that's run its course. I agree with you guys. There's nowhere to go for them right now. It looks like they're trying to figure out some kind of tag match against the champs, again, Fire and Dawn, but I don't think the people are buying into it anymore.
Well, that does it for Raw. That does it for our breakdown of what happened tonight. But now something that a lot of people tune in for, and that is the prediction. So we're going to go through these. And as we go through these, I always say in the chat, let us know what you think for each matchup. But also in the comments, if you're listening to this later, let us know your overall predictions. I would love to see what you guys are thinking about. So we are going to start. Let's see here. This is an interesting order they have it all in, but whatever. We're going to go with it. Start, Flobo, you get first pick on this one. six-man tag team match. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline. Who you got?
Oh, man, this one's going to be hard. The Bloodline needs this win because they got rid of their wives, man. But I'm going to go with Cody here, man. Cody and KO and Randy Orton. I'm thinking everyone's going to get those hands. Got to give it to the champ and company.
Interesting. I'm going to go with the Bloodline here because I think that they need a strong win, especially right now, and especially after everything that they've done. I think if they take a loss here, it undoes everything they've done with on SmackDown. I think with how big that moment was for them to take a loss right after, I think would kill them. So I'm going with the Bloodline. Jimmy, Cody, Randy, Kevin versus Bloodline.
Well, here I am to break the tie. I'm going to go with Bloodline too, and I think it's going to be someone in the babyface side who costs their team the win and a setup for SummerSlam. My fantasy booking is on. It's going to be. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
No, yeah, I figure somewhere going into the finish, it's going to be an all-out pure sixer, and then at one point, Randy and Cody will be the two guys in the ring and they'll be backing up, let's say back to back. They tap each other. Cody turns around into a RKO. The Bloodline takes advantage and it starts the ball rolling for SummerSlam.
I like it. Flobo, you like it? You're going to co-sign on that one?
I like it, but man, it makes you kind of jealous that that's not a match Cole will be calling, because Cole will be like, look around. He'll be losing his mind that really happened on the screen, but why not?
What if we go a different way? What if Kevin Owens does? He's like, I'm sick of everyone looking at these two. Kevin Owens hits a stunner on everybody. Probably
it's not going to happen. I just like the booking. That was the question, right? The booking's great. I still think they're going to win the match.
We got most people saying Bloodline here. So I'm glad I made my pick because the people are usually 50-50. That means we go to the next match, and that is the Intercontinental Championship match. Sami Zayn versus Bron Breakker. I get first pick on this one, and I'm glad I do because Bron Breakker is going to kill Sami Zayn. Murder him. He will be dead. He will be unalive. He will be zeroed. He will be flatlined. Bron Breakker is going to become the Intercontinental Champion, and he's going to give old Gunther a run for his domination money. Jimmy Corderas.
Wow. Why do I have to agree with you again? I like Bron Breakker
that sucks,
in this one.
Doesn't it? I hate it.
I know. I hate to do it.
It's the worst.
But I'm going to go with Bron Breakker here because you know, going against Bron Breakker standing tall at the end of their segment and beating down Sammy, usually that means he's not winning on Sunday or Saturday. But in this case, the time is right for him. I don't see him eating a loss just yet. And I don't want to see any kind of screwy finish with a DQ or a count out or anything like that. And Sammy, as much as I like Sammy, you know, he doesn't need this win right now. Bron does.
Right. I will be so upset if they do a corny DQ finish so that Bron doesn't lose, but he also doesn't become the champion. That to me is such a beige response, such a middle of the road kind of end.
There's a time and a place for it, but this ain't it. I don't think.
I think Bron needs to just continue to steamroll people, to just truck people. Flobo, tell me all the reasons why Bron Breakker is going to win, starting with how you hate ska music.
I do hate ska music, and it plays every time. Shout out to Burner Account calling him Bronny. I just, let's go. Not anymore. All right. That was 5 years ago. I have Sami Zayn win this one, and I hate to say it.
What?
I'm not the biggest Sami Zayn fan, but there's two things at play here just based on the past couple of years, and that is when someone does a challenging of I'm the best, they usually lose the first time, it becomes personal, and they win the rematch. And two, someone who is unhinged to break up matches needs a reason to make it personal. This will be the real test for Bron Breakker. Can he do a personal grudge? It only happens in a loss. I'm going with Sami Zayn.
I think every match for Bron Breakker is personal. He's a psychopath. He wants to kill people. And he takes it personally that you're not dead yet. That's
Hey, stop breathing.
How dare you still be alive? How long have you been
I'm picking
here?
Sammy. I know. I'm not the big Sammy guy, but and Ska Music will play twice, unfortunately, on this weekend. But
the mighty, mighty Boston's are so disappointed in hearing you. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is so upset right now.
Riot.
Let's get to the World Heavyweight Championship match. Damian Priest versus Seth freaking Rollins. I got a feeling this one's going on last, but this is the order that they put it here on my notes. So that's what I'm saying next. Jimmy, Damian Priest, Seth freaking Rollins.
The fact that the stipulation says that Seth Rollins, if he does not win, does not get another world championship match as long as Damian Priest is champion, leads me to believe that he doesn't need the win. And I don't believe he needs a win. So I'm going to go with Damian Priest in this one. And still, he's going to separate himself from the Judgment Day, despite the fact that he wins the match.
Ooh, good, big call there, Flobo. What do you think?
Ooh, I was going to say Seth freaking Rollins, but I think Jimmy convinced me. I get this. So Damian Priest wins, then you have him still not celebrating after getting the win with Judgment Day. I'm on board with this one. South of heaven for everybody.
Yeah, I'm definitely going Damian Priest here, and not just because you guys said so, but because... because I think everything Damian Priest is doing, if he loses this match, then he can't still be changed since he's become champion. He can't still act like the leader the way he does now. And I think a lot of the tension between him and Finn Balor sort of dissipates at that point. So I think he's going to win. Do think Gunther's probably going to take the title there, but for now, I think I think Priest is going to hold on to it for a little bit. We move on to the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Lobo, back to you, getting to start things off. We got Io Sky, Chelsea Green, Lyra Valkyria, Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and now Zoe Stark.
So typically heels win this match and rookies don't. So I got to give it to Chelsea Green. I can imagine her going to the office and saying, hey, look, I'm the Money in Bank winner, being absolutely insufferable, and she may cash in successfully later on. I'm getting it for Chelsea Green.
I hate that you picked her, because that's my pick too. I think her with the Money in the Bank briefcase will be just obnoxious and annoying, and she's going to be absolutely insufferable, and that's the kind of person you want to have the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I'm going with Chelsea Green as well. Jimmy, tell me why you think Naomi's winning it.
I think she's not winning it. No, I think she's not winning it. I will not acknowledge her. So I'm going to go with, I think it's Tiffy time.
Tiffy was my second.
Yeah. I was torn between the two, but I'm going to go with Tiffany Stratton.
Tiffany Stratton would be a good one as well. Flobo did sway me with the it's not the rookies that win it, though. That's what I'll be at that one. It's because of how Flobo changed my mind a little bit. I'll confess that.
I'll take it.
We got Baby I saying I'm rooting for Chelsea. Hugh J. I'm not gonna finish your name, Hugh. I know what you're doing there. Says Lyra or Zoe there. So a little bit torn here. We got the main event as listed on my notes. Again, I got a feeling that world title match is going to end it. But men's Money in the Bank ladder match, Jey Uso, Chad Gable, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, LA Knight, and Drew McIntyre. I'm going with
Jey.
I'm torn between two right now, and I'm trying to make my decision here. I'm going to play it safe, and I'm going to say Drew McIntyre. I think that he's got too much. I think the fact that he wins it and the potential CM Punk costing him is just too laid up right there. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. That seems to be the play, though I think it is very close that LA Knight could win it. Jimmy, what about you?
After you said that, you stole my pick. I was going to go LA Knight, but I am going to change my pick. I'm going to go Chad Gable.
Ooh.
I'm going to think Chad Gable is going to win the Money in the Bank, and there's going to be an interesting scenario with the Wyatt Six afterwards.
Hold on. Drew McIntyre has CM Punk waiting to ruin his day. Chad Gable has Wyatt's sixth written to ruin his day. It's going to be absolute bedlam, pandemonium, and other things are really big, like shenanigans and flim-flam. It has to be Jey Uso, especially since Gunther is going to be on that trajectory to be world heavyweight champion. Jey Uso, man, he eat in the bank.
So that seems like an easy one to me, but can I tell you why I didn't pick Jey? He disqualified himself tonight. You know why? Because they already advertised Jey Uso versus Chad Gable on Monday Night Raw. And usually they don't have a pre-advertised match like that for the person who's going to win Money in the Bank.
What, you're asking this in the day of post Carmella Hayes about calling your shot? That's a red herring there, Jack Palmer. It's going to be a win for Jey Uso. Just me, Uso. Day one.
Wait, hey, Carmelo Hayes is in the match. Pick Carmelo Hayes.
He's a rookie. Can't. You know
what? Can I call an audible?
What's that?
Yeah.
Since Flobo did, I'm going to go LA Knight. So we're all different. Oh. Yeah, I'm going
with everybody saying. Mm-hmm.
LA Knight. Interesting. So
I know usually it's a heel that wins these things, and that's why I was thinking Chad Gable, but LA Knight would be an interesting Money in the Bank holder.
LA Knight promos with the Money in the Bank would be solid gold.
And him going after the US championship as opposed to Cody Rhodes championship, make that title feel just that much more important.
Do you think that would work? Because when Austin Theory did it, a lot of people shook their heads.
Well, it's different. Austin Theory and LA Knight, two different animals. I think LA Knight is so over that they're going to buy into it. And Logan Paul is so hated that maybe it'll work.
We got people saying King of the Yeet. Show Andrade some love. And Hugh asking Jimmy, are you attending the weekend in Toronto? Jimmy is. So
yes,
Jimmy might pull a Brock Lesnar and just come in at the end and take the briefcase himself. And then
man,
I want to see.
They make these things strong.
Yeah.
This is beta cotton is too much.
I want to see Jimmy with the briefcase doing like the Brock party. We'll call it the Corderas party, you know, like a boombox. Come on, that'd be gold.
I got the case, I'll be there.
So
with a cup of coffee.
Those are our predictions. Everyone in the chat, again, I've seen some of yours. These are great. I would love for you to put your predictions in the comment section just so we can come back and see who was right, who was wrong. Spoiler alert, I was right. But fortunately, if I'm wrong, I won't have to eat my own words because I'm not going to be doing the after show for this time around. I am going to be watching at home. Instead, George Hermosa and John Jordan are going to be reviewing these shows on Sunday and Saturday, Heat Wave and Money in the Bank. I'm saying them backwards. Who knows why? That's just the way I decided to do it. Make sure to check those out and leave comments. Show them a lot of support. It's going to be a lot of wrestling they're watching, and we would love you all to be a part of it. Flobo, before we sign off, any final thoughts? Where can the world find you online? All that good stuff.
I love the fact that Money in the Bank is becoming, not becoming, it is like the summer party right before SummerSlam, and SummerSlam is actually elevating its status too. It's almost like a second high season of wrestling, my favorite time of year. I'm available on that X at Global Boys, and I've been working on two projects I want you to be a part of. One, every Wednesday, Jack Farmer and I, we break down NXT in a show we call Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. And if you like me writing about sports and comedy and travel, justthesandwich.com. It's my bloggy blog, y'all. Come say hello.
Yeah, Jimmy, by the way, Flobo, lots of great stuff he's working on. The blog's really fun to look at, especially if you're a sports fan. A lot of great stuff in baseball as well. Jimmy, tell us where, any final thoughts for tonight, any final thoughts going into the weekend of wrestling, and where can the world find you online?
No, a lot of good stuff tonight and heading into Money in the Bank. I thought it was a very decent go-home show. And as far as where you can find me here on Monday nights, kicking it with you guys for now. I guess it's not Triple J, it's Double J and F.
JFK. JFK.
No, that's right. Oh. Well, it is election season, right?
Yeah, it's
vote Jack Farmer.
Did not work out well for the last guy who went.
Not to mention it.
Easy, KFA, brother. KFA.
We want to.
And is it us three back again on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh my God, we're back again.
By the way, you guys, thanks for coming through here. Mike Martin, Tut Graph Burner Account, Baby Ice, Blue Chew, Bernie DC, all of you, thank you so much for being here. Jimmy, actually, by the way, did you get your social media in? Did I cut you off?
Oh, yeah. Well, on Twitter, at Jimmy Corderas, Instagram, at Real Jimmy Corderas, and, of course, Facebook and all that sort of stuff, and doing my rough and rants every day from Monday to Friday, just giving little critiques here and there and what I'd like to see tweaked and make things a little bit better. And, of course, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together last week. Wow, who did we have on last week? That's right. Okay. Anyways, this week we have Jared Fritz, another referee. It's going to be an all stripes edition of the Roughing It Up podcast.
And speaking of shows here, George Ramosa popping at the end just to make sure we're plugging the show. George, we told him twice now, tune in this weekend to watch you and John Jordan discuss everything that goes down on Money in the Bank, on Heatwave, right here on Wrestling Inc. It's going to be a don't miss it kind of show, pair of shows. Also, don't miss tomorrow the NXT review on Wrestling Inc. And as you said, Jimmy, it's going to be us three again on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about all the fallout from Forbidden Door on AEW Dynamite. That one's going to be really fun to watch as well.
Spicy. It's going to be spicy. By the way, I remember who was on our last Roughing It Up podcast. It was the Bollywood Boys. We were Bollywood swinging.
Oh. Hey. How do you not dance to those guys? Music is so good.
It's infectious. It's infectious.
It's so fun.
Canadian boys, by the way.
Such a fun pair of guys, such good wrestlers. I always say, if they're in a town near you, you got to go to the show. They're just an absolute ball. But you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As mentioned, I'll be on Wednesday's AEW Dynamite after show here, but with Flobo, it's Wednesday morning, talking all about NXT on Draped in Gold. That's a fun show to check out. We have laughs. We goof around. It's a good time. Coming up July 27th, you've got time. Santino Bros presents the LA Rumble, the biggest show in Southern California of the summer. 30 people all fighting it out for a chance to get a shot at the championship. Yeah, it's just like the Royal Rumble. You know the rules. It's fun. It's good. Tune in. It'll be live on YouTube for free, or you can see it in person. And we can get a handshake from your boy, Jack Farmer. That does it for us. Again, follow at Wrestling Inc. for all of the latest news. For now, I'm hitting the end stream button and we're signing off.